Today on Jesse Duplantis Ministries.
See, sometimes you get in a low state of faith, but that don't make any difference. You're still going to be helped by the invisible presence of Christ through the Holy Spirit, who's a comforter. I want to start reading in Mark chapter 5, verse 1. There's a passage of scripture here, and I want to talk about the amazing things that's in this chapter. And it's got about 20 verses. So if you don't mind, I'm going to read that. And I want to talk about this particular individual. I'm reading out of the Old King James Version. It's in Mark chapter 5, verse 1. And they came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. Now, notice that here. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. So this was a very strong demonic man there, because the demons were controlling him. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked and asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. So they didn't think of him as a man, they thought of him as an animal. See, when Satan takes over, you can become an animal. Think about that. You become animalistic. And they don't think about trying to help it. They try to tame you. And always night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones. So those devils tormented this man terribly. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him and cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God?" Notice the devil worshiped him. Now, if demons can worship God, why can't you? Think about that for a minute. They recognize the authority and the power of Jesus Christ. They called him the Son of the Most High God. "I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." See, goodness will always torment evil. Think about that. Your goodness ought to torment, it ought to aggravate evil, to the point that they'll worship you, realizing that you got something they don't have. "For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." So they're clean spirits and unclean spirits. There is a spiritual world out there. And he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." The word legion there, in the Roman had a legion, they had at least 6,000 soldiers in one legion, Roman legion. "And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country." So notice the demons realized they had the power to send them away. Where? To the abyss. They didn't want to go there. They prefer to be inside of people so they can function. Verse 11, "Now there was nigh unto the mountain a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them." In other words, they prefer people, but they'll take a pig. See, they messed up themselves. You see, they can't do nothing without someone's help. "And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000, they were choked in the sea or drowned." In other words, when the demons went into the pigs said, I ain't living like that man. I'd rather die than be possessed by demons. So even the hogs didn't like the devils. Why do people like the devils? They would rather die than be possessed. Think about that for a minute. "And they that fed the swine fled and told it into the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. They came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid." Why would they be afraid if they saw someone instantly delivered and sitting in there and clothed? This man's naked and everything. I mean, he's terrible. They try to bind him, try to get rid of him. He just beat them all to pieces. Now, they're afraid of the goodness of God. Isn't that amazing to me? That's amazing. They should have shouted. But maybe they were pig-minded. Are you pig-minded? "And they that saw it," verse 16, told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning this wine. Verse 17, and they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. What a dumb statement. Here's a man they've been trying to get rid of. Jesus sets him free, but because they lost their pigs, because pigs are more important than people to these people, they said, would you please leave? Ooh, Lord. You know, I've been in some churches where they asked me to leave because they was pig-minded. Isn't that amazing? My God, my God. That's why I want to read this whole part. And they began to, verse 17, and they began to pray to depart out of their coast. And when he was coming to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. This man says, can I go with you? Oh, Jesus. Watch this. Howbeit, Jesus permitted him not. Whoa, that's unheard of. Why did he say no? I want to talk today about a refusal, a commission, and a destiny. A refusal, a commission, and a destiny. Let me read verse 19. Howbeit, Jesus suffered them and said, but saith to them, go home to thy friends and tell them now how great things the Lord hath done for them, for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. Was Jesus the only person that had compassion on this man? See, Jesus saw him as a man. They saw him as an animal. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Normally, when Jesus heals someone or cast the devil out, he said, don't say nothing. Just keep it to yourself, and we'll go on about the business of the ministry. But this man, he permitted him not to come with him. He changed his mind. He said, go out and tell your friends and everybody the great things God has done for you. And not only did he do it in his town, he did it all over the city. There were 10 cities in Decapolis area pronouncing the name of the Lord. So a refusal sometimes from God can be a wonderful thing. I want to talk about a refusal, a commission, and a destiny. Now, I wrote this last night because I was forced by Pastor Betty and Pastor Kathy to preach this morning. We'll be having a prayer service for them too also. Oh, I'm just joking. A refusal, a commission, a destiny. Jesus didn't let this man go with him. You don't think he'd have been a good disciple? Watch this. Write this down. The Lord's refusal to take him was a gift. Why? It was the making of an evangelist. See, when Jesus said, no, but go and tell, Jesus had in his mind, I'm going to make this boy an evangelist. Some of the worst people in the world, look at me, are evangelists. I was a terrible sinner. Whoo! Out! And I can't even get into that because Jesus don't remember it, and neither should I. And everyone said, God can't use this man, Jesse. You don't realize what he's done. You don't realize how much he's drank. You don't realize how much drug. You don't realize things that he can't say because the statute of limitations hadn't run out. You don't realize what I was capable of doing and did. But God saw something in me. He saw the making of an evangelist. So that refusal was a gift. Think about that. So it was the making of an evangelist. So number one, write this down. Jesus was training him to be self-reliant. See, the problem with the disciples, they were not self-reliant until Jesus left them. Every one of you must be self-reliant. You must be able to say, and having done all the stand, but you can't do that if Jesus is always fixing your problem right there when the problem solving can be done by yourself. If your mama didn't teach you to tie your shoe, you'd be sticking your foot in her lap at 40 years old. So Jesus saw the making of an evangelist through his refusal, which was a gift. Think about that. And he said he must become self-reliant. So write this down. Jesus was training him to be self-reliant. Number one, beware of a sense of insecurity or the making of imaginary fears. See, the reason why some people don't want to get away from God, watch this. The reason why some people don't want to ever leave the church. My God, they don't want to go anywhere else but church, because they're afraid to walk outside because of imaginary fears. See, my God, when Christ in you the hope of glory, you never by yourself. He said, I will never leave you or forsake you. See, this man did not know that. Well, what I'm going to do? What's going to happen? You see, that's what he said. Jesus said, I'm going to make you self-reliant. I'm going to make you be able to stand on your own two feet. Number one, make him self-reliant. So beware of a sense of insecurity or the making of imaginary fears. See, that was wrong with me. I said, you can't call me to preach. I am not qualified. I haven't been to Bible school. Now I can read and I can study, but I'm not qualified. And he said, see, that was imaginary fears. That was a sense of insecurity. Now today, there ain't one iota insecurity in me at all. Y'all know that, but now I just say anything, do anything, and live anything. I have no imaginary fears. I have no fear. Fear tolerated is faith contaminated. When I was preaching up in Ohio, and the pastor walked up and literally stopped the service and held his phone out and said, you have to read this now. And I looked at it and he said, your granddaughter's being rushed to the hospital in an ambulance. And we don't know what it is, and you need to know this now. And Kathy's with her, because Kathy said, let him know no matter what he's doing, he'll want to know. I was in the middle of a funny story. I stopped, I read it, I said, everybody stand up. They all stood up. I prayed for Meredith in the name of Jesus. I bind you, because faith has no distance between me and her. I come against you in the name of Jesus. By his stripes, she is healed. Now everybody sit down. And I went and finished my story. And I saw people, they thought, my God, this is a hard man. Finally, I just stopped. I said, ladies and gentlemen, I don't crack and I don't break. Now, that's not trying to man up. No. See, the devil's trying to make me fear something that I knew we could take care of with prayer, and I refused to listen to his imagination. I don't crack and I don't break. Why? Because greater is he is in who? Oh, in who? Now, people were freaking out over that. When I left the service, I called Kathy on the phone as we were going to the airplane. To make a long story short, I said, Kathy, it's going to take me about an hour and 45 minutes to get back from around the Dayton, Ohio area to New Orleans. I said, when these wheels touch down on this airplane, I'm going to call you, and I want you to believe with me that Meredith will be released from that hospital with no bad reports whatsoever. She said, I'll be you too. So we took off. While flying, I'm 45 minutes. Boy, that devil trying to do this. I said, you the one that cracked and you the one that broke. Boy, God, when that plane touched ground, oh, Lord. See, what was it? How did I do that? The Lord made me self-reliant. Just like that man. When that plane touched the ground, they throw the, what we call it, thrust reversers. Is that right, Ken? That's what it's called. I said, my God, give me a phone. I got a phone. I said, Kathy. She said, they just released Meredith from the hospital, and all reports are wonderful. Praise the Lord. I said, well, my God, I'd like to go see her. And Meredith, she'd never been in the hospital before. They kind of freaking out, you know, because kids freak out. They always poking you, and, you know why do y'all? We've been to the moon. You ought to be able to know how to get blood without sticking somebody. Some kind of something, I don't know, whatever. But she came over and she said, Grandfather, everybody came saw me. Well, everybody was there. Why? Because love draws people. So this man was really loved even though he was demon-possessed, because when they saw him in his right mind, my God, he became an evangelist and changed the city. When are you going to change your city? You can't do it unless you're self-reliant. You see, beware of a sense of insecurity or the making of imaginary fears. See, write this down. You must summon up courage and faith. You got to call on it. You must learn to think alone and walk alone. You must summon up courage and faith. That's what Jesus was telling this boy by making himself reliant. You must think alone and walk alone. So, I mean, I prefer people walking with me and thinking with me, but a lot of times that don't happen. But that doesn't make any difference. I've learned to think alone and walk alone because of God's glorious word. You see what I'm saying? So I summon up courage. Courage is the oxygen of the soul. Breathe. And faith cometh. Come faith. And it come by hearing. So if you got to talk out loud to yourself and speak the word of God, you should do it. That's what Jesus was teaching this man with his refusal. He was making him an evangelist. My God, I like that. Write this down. We must exert ourselves, and we do that through one word called effort. Go home to your friends. Well, send somebody else, Lord. No, he's calling you. We must exert ourselves, and we do that through effort. What is that called? That's called a stage of your education. That's a stage of your education. Jesus said, I'm educating you. Now, use some effort. I've cleaned you. I've put you in your right mind. I've clothed you. You want to come with me? And I don't doubt Jesus. I sure wish he could come. This is one good boy here. But the work is greater than him traveling with me. And two can do better than one. One to put 1,000? Two what? Oh. Do you see what I'm saying? Let me write this down again. We must exert ourselves, and we do that through effort. That's a stage of your Christian education. The Lord was educating that man right there. Think about that. Now, number two, the second thing God taught him in that refusal, you must learn to walk by faith and not by sight. See, that's a commission. A refusal, a commission, a destiny. You must learn to walk by faith and not by sight. See, a lot of times we get in a low state of fear. A low state of faith. Let me say it again. You must learn to walk by faith and not by sight. In a low state of faith, you are helped by the invisible presence of Christ. See, sometimes you get in a low state of faith. But that don't make any difference. You're still going to be helped by the invisible presence of Christ through the Holy Spirit, who's a comforter. And sometimes we don't replenish our faith. God said, be fruitful, always producing. Multiply, always increasing. Replenish. In other words, use it and then fill it up. Then he said, subdue. You've heard me say that many times. In other words, put things down. See, faith come by hearing, don't come by hurt. Let me just tell you something. There's two things happen when you miss church. Number one, you lose faith because faith comes by hearing. And number two, you lose money. Now you think by going to church and giving money, you lost money. No. You got to understand, faith will help you to make money. And God will pay you more than anyone else will ever pay you. You see, I'm not just saying that to get you to come to church. I'm telling you. See, sometimes you get in a low state of faith. And the reason why is you're not replenishing yourself. Yeah, but I had things to do. How important is that thing? Let's just be honest. You put that above this. Thank you for that Holy Ghost grunt. You see what I'm saying? I almost did it myself this morning. What? I almost said, I ain't doing this. I convinced myself that I work real hard, and it's about time Kathy does some stuff. Yet she does a lot of stuff. You know what I'm trying to say? See, you can get into a low state of faith. I don't care if you're an apostle, a prophet, evangelist, pastor, a teacher. Why? Because you're always giving out and never receiving in. Let me say it again. You must learn to walk by faith and not by sight. In a low state of faith, you are helped by the invisible presence of Christ. See, this was the second thing Jesus was teaching this boy, refusing him not to let him go. One, to make himself reliant. And two, now, son, walk by faith and not by sight. Write this down. You must realize your great spiritual powers. Ooh, I like that. See, you don't understand how much power you have. You must realize your great spiritual powers. Jesus' cross is not a piece of dead wood. A lot of people think it is. See, you don't understand why you ain't went to the cross. See, you know, the Bible says, take up your cross. It's not just a piece of dead wood. You see what I'm saying? No, that cross is your living reality. Because of that cross, life came to you. So the cross Jesus was on was not a piece of dead wood. You must realize your great spiritual powers. What does that mean? Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. If God be before me, who can be against me? I'm more than a conqueror. I say to that mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea, not doubt in my heart. Believe those things that I say shall come to pass. I shall have whatsoever is. I say it, by his stripes I am healed. He took my infirmity, bore my sickness. My Lord, I mean, there's so much. These spiritual powers. Use my name. Whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. The Spirit of the Lord God's upon me, for he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, sent me to heal the brokenhearted, preach the liberty to the captive, recover his sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. See, there's all these spiritual powers that we have, and yet we don't use them. You want me to quote some more scripture? I can quote this Bible. I'm not bragging about it. You know why I can quote it? I study it. I don't just read it. Why? Study to show thyself approved, and the God of work will not be ashamed. Rightly, 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 dividing the word of truth. The only thing you should divide in life is the word of truth. Where everything else God does multiplies. Do you see that? Oh, my Lord Jesus. So you must realize your great spiritual powers. Jesus' cross is not a piece of dead wood. It is your living reality. Whew. Now, I said this a while ago, I got to say it again. These people were not interested in this man. Never prefer pigs over people. Or we could put it like this. Never prefer your possessions over people. Never prefer, they got mad because they lost the pig business. Oh, Lord, man, there go the pork chops. There go the ham. Oh, if you're a kid, there go the gratons. Oh, Lord, the crackling. Whew. Never prefer pigs over people or your possessions over the restoration of humanity. They prefer those pigs over the restoration of that human being. That's sad. That is totally, completely sad. What else do you put ahead of God?
I love our partner offer message, The New Obedience. What's God's directive for your life as a believer? After Christ's resurrection, Jesus appeared to his disciples and gave us a new commandment to make disciples and baptize and teach them to obey Jesus' commands. How? Christ in us, the hope of glory. You can order The New Obedience at jdm.org.
Welcome to Glorious Moments. It's so wonderful to read testimonies from friends and partners who have been impacted by ministry and received answers to their prayers. I call these glorious moments because they reveal a victorious moment in time when God's glory was on display in someone's life. And as I read them to you today, I pray that God will empower you to push through to your victory in the glorious name of Jesus. Let's begin with this glorious moment. It says, I remember sending money to help build the church. God blessed me big time for that. I bought a house for $156,000, sold it for $417,000, and bought 12 more houses. Now I live in Hawaii. Truly, following the Lord has made me great. God takes excellent care of me. Praise God. You know, He is a good Father. And this next one says, I love glorious living. It blesses me so much. I can't thank you ladies and JDM team enough for everything you do and teach. Got to love being on Blessed Boulevard. Love always from your partner in Perth, Australia. You're a blessing, and we appreciate you being a part of JDM's evangelistic team. Thank you. And here's another glorious moment. It says, thank you, Brother Jesse. Your ministry is a huge breath of fresh air. Always totally positive. You empower me to always smile, always be joyful, and always trust God. I love that. Now, here's our last testimony. It says, Amen. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Thank you, Dr. Jesse. I'm so blessed and inspired by your messages. I'm always prospering so I can be a blessing to others. God's grace, love, and mercy are forever beside me, and the Holy Spirit guides me. I delight in the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, amen to that. I'm so glad that you joined me today, and I pray that Jesse's message today has touched your life and that this part of the program has encouraged you to believe God for your miracle. God bless you. Have a fabulous day.
Celebrating 50 years of vision.
Motivation and momentum is what moves a vision to completion. What you start, you finish.
It's Jesse Duplantis' 2026 Visionary Conference, July 9th and 10th at JDM International Headquarters in Destrehan, Louisiana.
The world right now is now set to be touched by the power of God.
Go to jdm.org for more information.
In honor of our 50th year of ministry, we're releasing our anniversary copy of my first book, The Ministry of Cheerfulness.
Yes, it's time for you to be filled up with the supernatural joy of Jesus. Order your physical copy or digital download today with your donation amount of $5 or more at jdm.org.
Listen, joy matters, so get this special edition of The Ministry of Cheerfulness and start walking in joy every single day. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you enjoyed today's message. Think about it for a minute. A refusal from God can be a wonderful thing. Well, how can that be? Jesus' refusal to take that man with him was a gift. Why? He made him an evangelist. Listen, God has something great and significant for you to do today. Spend time with him and realize your great spiritual powers. You have them. There's more to this message that you didn't see. You need to see the whole thing. So go to our JDM app and enjoy the full teaching there. It will bless you. I'm telling you, you need that inside of you every day. Our product offer, I love this thing. It's my first book I ever wrote in my life, The Ministry of Cheerfulness. It's our 50-year anniversary edition. Listen, cheerfulness is the best armor against anything that comes against you. When you learn to laugh at the devil, he'll run from you in seven ways. The joy of the Lord is your strength. This book will help you tap into that. How do I get it? Go to jdm.org for all the ordering information and you will be blessed. And I mean that sincerely. Have you ever saw me say it? No, why? Ministry of Cheerfulness. Pardon this, thank you today for all that you do for this ministry. We've asked the Lord for every dollar given to our ministry to give us a soul into the kingdom. Right now, we got two projects on the board, believing God, for $20 million. I believe that's 20,000 people giving $1,000. That's a lot of people. I don't mean this privately. Millions of people watch me. So 20,000, I'm giving 1,000 is not that much. And we'll take care of both those projects, pay cash for everything. We do that all the time. We've been doing that, ladies and gentlemen, for 50 years. So thank you for being a partner today. Nothing too small and nothing too big. I mean, that's sincere. I've never given $1,000 in my life. Well, my God, it's about time to start. And then it'll be 10,000, then 100,000. I'm telling you, I started the same way with giving a dollar. But God's word came to pass. The anointing of increase is on us. Be a partner today if you can, and God will bless you. If you can't, that's still okay. Just keep watching the program and you'll be blessed. All right? Jesse saying, I love you. I really do. See ya. Bye-bye.
Join us at Covenant Church as we celebrate the resurrection and hear a life-changing message from Jesse Duplantis.
He's the same yesterday. He's the same today. And he's the same forever.
As you saw him go, you're going to see him come. Some people say, I don't believe that. You will.
Resurrection Sunday, April 5th, 10 a.m. at Covenant Church, 1973 Ormond Boulevard in Destrehan, Louisiana. We look forward to seeing you and your family here.
When you're holy, you don't have much time for sinning. Sin doesn't hang around holiness because holiness rebukes it completely without saying one word.
Thank you for watching today. For more information about Jesse Duplantis Ministries, go to jdm.org.